Erev Tov. We're very happy that everyone was able to join us this evening. Bein Kesel Asor. This is our continuous annual Hausman Stern Kinnus Tshuva lecture, which has been going on ever since it was established several years ago by Judy Hausman and the late Gershon Hausman, who visited Israel frequently and realized the importance of the Gross Institute to Yeshiva University and learning of Torah to Klal Yisrael, and as such established concurrent lectures in New York and in Jerusalem every year, Bein Kesel Asor. Those of you who have been with us in the past years know that we've always chosen distinctive, distinguished speakers. We tape the series, and we have in our Yeshiva University Israel Alumni Tape Library copies of previous speakers of the Kinnus Tshuva lectures, as we do many other lectures by Yeshiva University, Rabbanim, and lecturers. It gives me great pleasure this evening to call upon Rabbi Yosef Friedman, Director of Israel Operations of Yeshiva University, to introduce this evening's speaker.
Thank you. I just want to tell a few of the people who are sitting in the back, especially the gentlemen, that there are a few seats in the front. It is truly a singular pleasure for Yeshiva University and for myself personally to be able to host Rabbi Shalom Gold this evening. Rabbi Shalom Gold, as many of you know, is renowned as a Talmud Chacham in Ish Chinuch, a leader and a maverick in Jewish communal life. I don't know how many of you know, but Rabbi Gold is really one of a very few Rabbanim who received their smicha from Harav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog Zatzal. Rabbi Gold seems to have been a founder many, many times. He was the founder and the first Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Ner Yisrael in Toronto, Canada, which at the time was a Jewish wilderness. From there he went to West Hempstead, where he served for a decade as the spiritual leader of the young Israel of West Hempstead. And during that time, the Kehillah grew, both in terms of numbers and quality, to become one of New York's thriving Dati Lumi communities. And while in West Hempstead, he became known as the Eruv Rav, as he set up one of the first Eruvim on the East Coast. In Eretz Yisrael, after his Aliyah in 1982, he founded the Jerusalem College of Adults, which provides for hundreds of people every week and for thousands over the years, English language shiurim for both men and women on such topics as Tanakh, Rambam, and Halacha. His Beit Knesset in Har Nof, Zichron Yosef, which he of course founded, is known for its community involvement and for its exemplary Divrei Torah, given of course by Rav Gold. I don't know many other Rabbanim who give their major drashot in both Hebrew and English so that the whole community can benefit from them. But everything I've told you until now tells you basically things that Rav Gold has done and not really who he is. Over the past several years, I've had the privilege, true privilege, to work alongside Rabbi Gold on a number of Jewish communal projects. I have to tell you that two of the qualities which most impressed me about Rav Gold were his selflessness and singleness of purpose. Rabbi Gold, when he felt it was good for Klal Yisrael, worked Yomam V'Laila, both the United States and here in Eretz Yisrael, to speak with people, to convince, to cajole. Many times he'd be mochel on his kavod if he felt it was good for the good of the principal. His own activities, his own Jerusalem College of Adults, which is of which he is dean, suffered because Rav Gold put aside those things which were his personal responsibility and did things again for Klal Yisrael. Once again, it's the privilege of Yeshiva University and truly my own privilege to call upon Rabbi Gold to give this year's Hausman Stern Tshuva Lecture.
I prepared the shiur, but I didn't prepare a response to that very beautiful introduction, so I will just leave it at thank you very much. Not all of it is really so true, but all right, maybe I have something to do tshuva now for Yom Kippur. First Rashi in Torah, famous Rashi, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Lo hoyo tzorich lahatchil et haTorah elo mihachodesh hazeh lochem. Shehi mitzvah rishona shenitztavu bo Yisrael. Rabbi Yitzchak asks, why does Torah begin with creation? Torah is a book of legislation, and therefore it should have begun with the very first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people, which was the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctifying of the new moon, which appears in Parashat Bo. Lo hayo tzorech lahatchil et haTorah ela me'achodesh hazolachem, shehi mitzvah rishona, the first mitzvah, shenitztavu Yisrael, that Israel was commanded. Umatam, asks Rashi, umatam posach bibereshis bora, why did Torah begin with bereshis? Mishum, and he quotes a Rashi, a pasuk in Tehillim, koach masav higid liamo latet lehem nachalat goyim. God wanted to show the strength of his great deeds to his people in order to give them the inheritance of the nations. Shem yomru umos ha'olam, if the nations of the world will ever say, listim atem, you're thieves, that you stole our land. Shekovashtem arzos shivas hagoyim, you conquered the lands belonging to the seven nations. Hey, omrim lehem, Israel's response is, kol haaretz, Shall HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the entire world belongs to God. Hu bara, he created the world. Bereshis bara. V'nosna la'asher yoshaveinu, he gave the land to whomever he saw fit. Biritzono, it was his will. Nosna lahem, he gave it to them. Hu biritzono, and then it was his will. Not lovihem, he took it from them. V'notna lanu, and he gave it to us. I would imagine that some of you, of course, are thinking, if Rabbi Gold starts with the first Rashi in Bereshis, this is going to be a real political drasha. So I'm telling you, it's a tshuva drasha. And what troubles me with this Rashi is I want to paraphrase Rashi's question. Rashi asks, why does Torah begin with the story of creation? It should have started with the first mitzvah, HaChodesh HaZelochem, the new moon. Nisan is the first of months. The question that I wish to ask is, Umatam Pasach, HaChodesh HaZelochem? Why does the legislation of Torah indeed begin with that as the first mitzvah? If we would have to choose a first mitzvah that should be communicated to the Jewish people, I think we could have come up with what might be better. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. V'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha. What a mitzvah! Of all things, the very first mitzvah that God communicates to the Jewish people are the intricacies of the astronomical calculations of the new moon, and that Nisan is the first of months. Matam, why indeed is that the first mitzvah? Second, what indeed is the meaning of a year that begins in the middle of the year? Tishrei is the beginning of the year, and then the first of months comes six months later. Very strange. What's the meaning of it all? In order to better understand the Rashi and the deeper meaning of HaChodesh HaZelochem, which we will see is a revolutionary concept that is a fundamental principle of Yahadus. And that revolutionary concept is expressed in this mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. The Mishnah in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, first Mishnah, Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim, there are four Nugiyas. Be'echad B'Nisan, the first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim V'L'Rigolim. The first day of the month of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for the new year of kings and the series of the Yamin Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos and Sukkos. Be'echad B'Tishrei, the first day of the month of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, years beginning Tishrei, Shemitah, Yovel, planting the Maaser of vegetables. The Gemara goes on to say that Echad B'Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei, is Rosh Hashanah L'Malchei Umos HaOlam. The first day of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah, the new year for kings of the world. Echad B'Nisan, the first day of Nisan, that's the Rosh Hashanah for the kings of Israel. Kings of the nations of the world count their year from Tishrei. The kings of Israel count their year from Nisan. Tishrei is really the beginning of the year of nature, plowing, planting, fertilizing. The agricultural season begins in the fall, first of Tishrei. Therefore, kings of the nations of the world who operate within the natural order of things count their year from Tishrei, because they are an integral part of the natural sensual world. The kings of Israel, on the other hand, and the order of sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, Korbanos, their year is counted from Nisan. The Jewish calendar year is not a natural one, but operates on a plane that is beyond nature. Nisan is the month of the miraculous, Eser Makos, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf. Nisan is the month of the awesome, Osos Umosim. Nisan is the month that goes beyond nature. If we take a closer look, we will see that Kiddush HaChodesh, the entire mitzvah of the sanctifying of the new moon, and the idea that Nisan is the first of months, Kiddush HaChodesh is a mitzvah, that first mitzvah, is a mitzvah that created a revolution in our way of thinking, the way in which we see things. And for that matter, it has made a revolution in the entire course of our history. Herein lies a thought that goes to the very heart of Jewish existence and Jewish survival. The normal, natural view of history is chronological. History moves, develops. It marches inexorably from past through present to the future. A leads to B, B leads to C. One precedes two, two precedes three. The entire range of natural history is the range of cause and effect. It's the result of cause and effect. Every cause leads to an effect. Today's events lead to tomorrow's. The former leads to the latter. As in nature, wind, rain, plowing, planting, growth, harvesting. With Yetzias Mitzrayim that takes place in the month of Nisan, a dramatic change happens in our entire thought process. It's no longer cause related, but rather it is goal related, objective related thinking. The world until Nisan knew of a Bore, a creator, but not a Manhig, a leader. In the month of Nisan, there appears on the face of this earth a Bore who has become and has demonstrated and shows himself to be Manhig Ha'olam. He appears for the first time as not only the architect of the world, but the author of history. We see him as being involved with man. What was then, in the month of Nisan, established was that the dominant factor in Jewish history is not cause and effect, but objective, goal. Today's event is not the result of yesterday's, but rather today's events are destined and determined by tomorrow's goal. The chronological mindset moves from past to present to future. But the Nisan phenomenon is precisely the opposite. The future is that which determines the past. The ultimate goal and objective is that which is the cause of what precedes it. Since the world has an ultimate goal of Geula, of redemption, that's its objective, then it inexorably must move in that direction. That's why the Jewish people were chosen. That's why Torah was given to them. That's why they were brought to Eretz Yisrael. That's why they had to go down to Egypt, be enslaved, purified in the crucible of suffering. Sof Maaseh, what happens at the end, is the Machshava Tchila. But the Machshava Tchila, the thought at the beginning, is the result of what the ultimate goal and objective must be. Tishrei is the beginning of the natural year. Zehayom, we said it in davening on Rosh Hashanah, Zehayom, this day is Tchilas Maasecha, the beginning of all that you've done, the creation of world, of the world, the creation of man. Tishrei is the beginning of the chronological year. Therefore, Malchei Umos Ha'olam, kings of the nations of the world, their years are counted from Tishrei. Nisan, on the other hand, is the beginning of the redemptive year. It is the miraculous year, the year that is beyond natural time. Nisan means that time no longer rules Israel, but rather Israel rules time. Klal Yisrael, in an ultimate sense, is not exposed to the vagaries and the ravages of time. The Medrash Tanhuma says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, this month shall be unto you, Lochem Hu Masur, time is given over to you, Ve'en Atem Mesudim Biyado, you are not in the hands of time. It was Rabbi Yehuda Halevi who said, Avdei Zman, the slaves of time, Avdei Avodim Heim, are the slaves of slaves. Eved Hashem, the servant of God, Levado Chavshihu, he alone is the one who is free. The Sephorno on HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, this month shall be unto you, Mikan Va'elech, from here on and further, Yihyu Chadoshim Shelochem, the months are going to be yours. La'asoz Behem Kiditzonchem, to do as you wish. Ki bo hitchil, because in Nisan what began was mitziutchem habechidi, your existence as a people who can choose and who are chosen. Time now becomes that which is pliable and malleable in the hands of Klal Yisrael. Let's take the idea and look at it further and see, of course, what is its relationship to our Aseret Yemei Tshuva. There's a Gemara in Masechet Pesachim where the Gemara asks the following question. The Gemara says the following, in Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar begins with the following pasuk: Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai ba'ohel moed. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the Sinai desert be'echod lachodesh hasheni, the first day of the second month, in the second year, b'ashono hashenis letzeitam eretz Mitzrayim, the second year that they went out of Egypt. Sefer Bamidbar begins in the month of Iyar, in the second year in the desert. And then we go through Parshas Bamidbar, Naso, and in the middle of Ba'al Oscha, all of a sudden we learn of the Parsha of Korban Pesach. Now Korban Pesach took place the month before. Korban Pesach took place in the first month of the second year. So the Gemara in Pesachim, Vav Amud Beis, asks the following question: V'nichtov b'reisha t'chodesh rishon v'hodor nichtov b'chodesh hasheni. The Torah should have written first the parsha of Pesach, which is in the first month, and then they should have written the parsha at the beginning, which is in the second month. The Gemara is simply asking, why is it out of order? Begin Sefer Bamidbar, what took place in the first month, and from there move on to what took place in the second month. Amar Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa. Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa gives the following answer in the name of Rav. I learned the Gemara so many times, and all of a sudden it struck me how strange the Gemara is. Rav says, Zot Omeret, this is proof, from here we see, Ein Mugdam Umu'uchar Batorah. Torah does not follow the order of Mugdam, the former, and the latter. Torah does not work in that order. What an unbelievable answer. What was the premise for the question? The premise on which the question of the Gemara was based is that all of Torah follows in chronological order, and all of a sudden, Torah is not in chronological order. And the fact is, Torah is in chronological order. It begins with creation, 10 generations from Adam to Noah, 10 generations from Noah to Avraham, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Mitzrayim, Midbar. All of Torah follows in chronological order. And we find one case where Psukim, Parshiot, are not in chronological order. And do you hear what the Gemara's answer is? The Gemara's answer is, Zot Omeret, this means, this is proof, Ein Mugdam Umu'uchar Batorah. There is no former and latter in Torah. Torah does not follow in chronological order. Pli Atzuma, what's the Gemara say? The Gemara's answer should have been, yes, you're right, Torah follows chronological order. But Shani Hocha, this case, for whatever reason it is, Torah changed the order here. That's not the Gemara's answer. The Gemara makes a very definite, clear-cut statement. I'm afraid to say the words out of mouth. A clear-cut statement that seems not to be true at all. The Gemara says, Zot Omeret, this is proof. Ein Mugdam Umu'uchar Batorah. Torah does not follow former and latter. What do you mean Torah doesn't follow former and latter? Torah is haphazard. It's clear before our very eyes that Torah follows in Mugdam Umu'uchar. So what's the meaning of the Gemara's answer? Zot Omeret. This comes to tell me Ein Mugdam Umu'uchar Batorah. I believe that the Gemara here is establishing an extremely important principle. The Gemara's answer is so strange that it has to be telling us something terribly, terribly important. Of course Torah follows in chronological order. When the Gemara says, Ein Mugdam Umu'uchar Batorah, there is no former and latter in Torah, you know what the Gemara is telling us? The Gemara is telling us chronological order is not that which determines Jewish history. Mukdam im uchar is not that which creates or moves Jewish history. Mukdam um uchar, if the former precedes the latter, that would be meaning that we move in chronological order, cause and effect, A to B to C, 1, 2, 3. The Gemara is telling us the fact that these two parashiyot are not written in order are there to tell us Mukdam and Me'uchar are not the determining factors in Jewish destiny and in Jewish history. And why these two parashiyot? The second parasha is Pesach. The first one is the beginning of the second year in the Midbar. What does it mean? What's happening there in those parashiyot of Bamidbar, Noso Bahalotcho? What's happening there? You know what's happening? Klal Yisrael are now going to be counted because they are preparing for the entry into Eretz Yisrael. They are going to be divided according to the Golem. Everything is ready and set. Klal Yisrael are poised for the thrust into Eretz Yisrael. And then Torah tells us the parasha of Pesach, which took place the month before. Let me explain what I'm saying with a very simple, made-up yeshivish hakira. Did Klal Yisrael arrive at Sinai to receive Torah because they left Egypt? Or did they leave Egypt in order to arrive at Sinai? Did they arrive at Sinai because the Rebbeinu Shem took them out of Mitzrayim? No place where to go? We might as well go to Sinai. Or is it the other way around? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring Klal Yisrael to Sinai, therefore he took them out of Mitzrayim. Of course that's the truth. Do you know what that truth means? What determined the former event of Yitzias Mitzrayim? What determined the Exodus? The latter event. What's going to happen later is that which determines what happened earlier. That's the meaning of Ein Mukdam Umu'ucha BaTorah. Jewish history does not follow from A to B, cause to effect. There is a goal. There's an objective. And it's that latter goal and objective which determines that which is going to happen earlier. If Klal Yisrael at the beginning of Bamidbar are poised to go into Eretz Yisrael, it's because that was what determined the Pesach that preceded it. If Korban Pesach would have come first, and the preparation to go into Eretz Yisrael would have come second, I could very well have been left with the impression, well, they went out of Mitzrayim, so where do you go? They're in the desert, where are you going? Cause and effect, no place else to go? You go to Eretz Yisrael. Along comes Torah and changes the order. Torah changes the order in order to make it very clear. Ein Mukdam Umu'uchar BaTorah. Mukdam and Mu'uchar, former and latter, are not that which determines Jewish history. On the contrary, it's the latter that determines what's going to happen earlier. Of course the rest of Torah is written in chronological order. Is Torah not supposed to be written in chronological order? But at this particular juncture, Torah switches in order to tell us this great truth. Ein Mukdam Umu'uchar BaTorah. The idea of Ein Mukdam Umu'uchar BaTorah, in the way in which I understand it, has fascinated me. And I want to take you on a little bit of a journey. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah says the following: Haman drew lots. Nafal hapur bechodesh Adar. He drew lots, and it came out that the month set aside for the destruction of the Jewish people was the month of Adar. Says the Gemara, Somach Simcha Gedola. He was full of joy, because that was the month Shemeit Bo Moshe, the month that Moshe died. And the Gemara goes on to say, V'lo haveyoda, he didn't know. What Haman didn't know was, Ki b'zayin ba'odon meis Moshe, u'b'zayin ba'odon nolad Moshe. He didn't know that on the 7th of Adar Moshe died, and on the 7th of Adar Moshe was born. And Rashi explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimalei shnoseyim shal tzadikim. The Rebbeinu Shalom is the one. Tzadikim live full lives, complete. Gemara is troubling. Why didn't he know that Moshe was born on Zayin Adar? How did he know that Moshe died on Zayin Adar? Whoever was in charge of the Jewish desk knew that Moshe died on Zayin Adar. The same place they were able to find out the information that Moshe died on Zayin Adar, he could just as well have known that Moshe was born on Zayin Adar. But what's more troubling about the Gemara, listen as I say the Gemara's sentence again. The Gemara says that he was very happy when he found out that the month that is destined for the destruction of the Jewish people is the month of Adar, because Moshe died there. Now listen to the Gemara. V'lo haviyada, but he didn't know, ki b'zayin ba'adar meit Moshe, u'b'zayin ba'adar nolad Moshe. He didn't know that Moshe died on the 7th of Adar, and Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar. Isn't there something wrong with the order of this sentence in the Gemara? Shouldn't the Gemara have said, V'lo haviyada, he didn't know that on the 7th of Adar, Moshe was born, and on the 7th of Adar, Moshe died. That's not what the Gemara says. He didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar and was born on the 7th of Adar. I believe that there's an extremely important message in the Gemara. I believe that Haman knew that Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar. He knew, of course, that Moshe died on the 7th of Adar. But what Haman thought was that everything moves chronologically, linearly, which means Moshe is born on the 7th of Adar, and then he dies, and it's all over. What Haman doesn't know is that Jewish history does not work chronologically or linearly. What he didn't understand was that b'zayin ba'adar, on the 7th day of Adar, Moshe died, and on that day, nolad Moshe. Moshe became part of eternity. Haman made the mistake of all Sonei Yisrael. He thought that the idea of death applies to Klal Yisrael. It isn't so. It was the mistake that Toynbee made. After having studied 21 different civilizations, and every civilization went through the same process. There's the struggle, the growth, the development, reaching the peak, and then begins invariably the decline, the despair, destruction, disintegration, disappearance. And Toynbee assumed, listen, all nations in the world follow mugdom umu'uchar, cause and effect, chronology, linear. The same thing should be true of Klal Yisrael. But Klal Yisrael simply didn't fit the mold. Lo Haviyada. He didn't know that Jewish history does not work chronologically. It works on the basis of goal and objective. There's an ultimate goal, and that goal is going to be reached. It may seem at moments as though the goal will never be reached. Guaranteed, it will be. Lo Haviyada, he didn't know that B'Zayin Ba'adar, on the 7th of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu died, and on that self-same Zayin Adar, Nolad, he was born for all time.
Those who are my students and members of my congregation know that in the last number of years I have developed a fascination. They most probably will say that I've developed a fixation on a Rashi in Chumash. A most unusual and a most exceptional Rashi in Chumash. With the help of the Rebbein Sham, I've said four pshatim now in this Rashi in about 4 years running, and I'm a nervous wreck. What am I going to come up with next year? They're already going to expect it. The Rashi says, Vayelech Moshe, Parashat Vayelech, Vayelech Moshe, Vayedaber et hadvarim ha'ele el kol Yisrael. And Moshe went, and he spoke all of these words to all of Israel. Rashi, in every Chumash, and I've looked in so many, Rashi says the following, Vayelech Moshe, and Moshe went, Vigomer, Vigomer, etc. etc. I took a look at this Rashi, and I wondered to myself, what's Rashi telling me? Rashi doesn't explain, Rashi doesn't add, Rashi doesn't comment. What's bothering Rashi, and what's Rashi saying? And the last person who sat in my house and told me it's just the printer, I threw him out. Nobody is going to play games with all the Torah I've said on that Rashi. And there is no such thing. Vayelech Moshe. Vayelech Moshe v'gomer. You know what Vayelech Moshe v'gomer means? Exactly what Haman didn't know is what Rashi is telling us. Because the Vayelech Moshe is so difficult. Moshe has spoken so often to Klal Yisrael, and never once in all of Torah does it say Vayelech Moshe, Vayedaber, and Moshe went and he spoke. And of all times, when does the Torah tell us Vayelech Moshe? On the last day of his life. And in the very next pasuk he says, Lo uchal od latzeis v'lavo, I can't go anymore. I can't do anything anymore. The big question that's troubling Rashi is, Vugete, where is he going? Vayelech Moshe, it's the last day of his life. Where is he going? You know what Rashi says? Vayelech Moshe, Vigomer. You think Moshe's career ended that last day? Haman didn't know. But we know that B'Zayin Ba'adar made Moshe on the 7th of Adar, Moshe died. And on that self same 7th of Adar, he was born for all time. Do you think it was only on that day, Vayedaber et hadvarim ha'ele, he spoke all of these things, El Kol Yisrael, to all of Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu has been speaking every day throughout all of history to Kol Yisrael. All that Rashi does is of a gomer, etc. Don't think for a moment, God forbid, as Haman. Haman thought that death was the end. The only significant date in the life of Moshe in the month of Adar, according to Haman, was that he died. Not so. Vayelech Moshe. Moshe keeps going. He continues going through history. On that last day, he may have been the Rebbe of the Dor HaMidbar. But from that day and further, he became Moshe Rabbeinu of all of Klal Yisrael. Vayelech Moshe. There are a number of other pshatim that I said. One, of course, the idea that the Navi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Navi Zechariah, V'nosati lecha mehalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela. Zechariah finds himself surrounded by malachim, angels, so God tells him, I will make you a mover amongst those who are standing. What's the pshat? You will be a mover amongst those who are standing. A malach is called an omed, one who's stationary. A human being is called a mahalech, one who goes and moves. We would have thought precisely the opposite. Malachim, with all of their wings, leap tall buildings in a single bound, a whole world. Malachim are movers and shakers. Men are stationary. The difference between angels and men is the angel has no free will, and by virtue of the fact that he has no free will, there is no possibility of growth. Precisely what a malach is at the moment that he is created by God is exactly what he will remain for all time. No possibility of growth. The human being is a holech. Because he is endowed and graced with free will, he has the ability to grow and to develop. If a man is a holech, you know what the Torah is telling us? Vayelech Moshe. Where is he going? Says Rashi, v'gomer. On the very last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he continues to grow until the very last moment. His growth and his development and his closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not stop or flag for a moment. Vayelech Moshe v'gomer. Until his last moment, he continues to grow. But in the Vayelech Moshe, we see the idea. Haman lo havayada. Haman did not know that on the 7th of Adar Moshe Rabbeinu died, and on the 7th of Adar, that same day, he was born for all time. Because Haman sees Jewish history as all other history, that it moves in a linear direction. It moves chronologically from Mugdam to Me'ochar, from the former to the latter. What Haman doesn't realize is, in Mugdam, former and latter, cause and effect, are not that which determines Jewish history. In the Megillah, it says at the beginning of the third chapter, Achar hadvarim ha'ele, after these things, Gidal hamelech, Achashverosh es Haman ben Hamdoso ha'agogi vayinaseihu. After these things, Achashverosh brings Haman to the fore and he rises to power. Amar Rava, says Rava the following, Achar hadvorim ha'ele, after these things, after what? After what? Amar Rava, says Rava, Acha shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu refua lemaka. Acha shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu refua lemaka. After God had created the refua, the healing for the blow that was going to come later. Do Amar Resh Lakish, Rava quotes Resh Lakish, who says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu make es Yisrael Ela in Cain Bore Lahem Refuah Tchila. God never brings punishment upon the Jewish people until he creates the medicine in advance. Shenema, as it says, Kirof Ili Yisrael as I healed Israel, v'niglo avon Ephraim, then the sin of Ephraim became revealed. Which means, what comes first? First comes refuah, and then comes makah. Aval umos ha'olam, but the nations of the world ain't okay, there it's not so. Makah osan, he hits them, he punishes them, v'achar kach borei lehem refuah, and afterwards, only afterwards, does he create the healing. As it says, v'nagav Hashem et Mitzrayim nagov v'rofo. And God smote Egypt. Nagov, he smote, and then v'rofo, and then he healed. Very fascinating what's being said over here by Rava. Let's stop to analyze it for a moment. When we read the Megillah seems to be a story that goes in perfect chronological order. The Mordechai assassination plot. I mean, everything moves in absolutely perfect chronological order. Do you know what Rav is saying? You think that when you look in the Megillah, you see chapter 1, and then followed by 2, 3, everything's following in order. It's a mistake. It's not so. Do you know what determines all of the events in chapter 1 and 2? What's going to happen in chapter 3, 4, and 5? It's because there's going to be a makkah later that the Rebbein Shalom creates the refuah earlier. You think you're looking at a Megillah that's following in chronological and lineal order. It's not so. All of the events at the beginning of the Megillah are determined by what happens later. The former event, the refuah, is dictated by the latter event, the makkah. I believe it may be, this may sound strange to you, I believe that's why the halacha is hakoreis ha-megillah l'mafreya. Somebody who reads the Megillah out of order is not yotze. Because if you're going to read it out of order, you'll never really be able to figure how out of order it really is. It's only when you read it in order that you can know that it's all out of order. Everything that happens in the first two chapters, and not because they're the first two chapters, it's because what's going to happen later, that's what dictates what's going to happen earlier. What the Megillah is really telling us is that everything is upside down. Everything is hafuch. And more than the fact that everything is hafuch, since Jewish history does not work linearly, but circularly, since it does not work through mugdam umi'uchar, cause and effect, A inexorably leads to B, and B to C. It's because of that that you know what the whole Megillah is telling us? Everything is hafich. Everything is reversible. In Jewish history, there is no such thing as something that's irreversible. That was the mistake of Haman. Haman thought that Moshe Rabbeinu died, bad month. What did Achashverosh think? Achashverosh thought Jews are in decline. The only thing that he was worried about only one thing. There was a prophecy of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu said that after 70 years they're going to go back and Jewish history is going to begin again. When according to his calculation he sees that Jews have not rebuilt their commonwealth. So there are some 42,000 Jews that are there with Ezra and Nehemiah who are struggling. That's not a Shiva Sion. What Ahasuerus wants to be certain of is that they were moving in the direction of Mugdam and Me'uchar, A to B. And if so, they're in the process of decline. And after that decline is going to come the deterioration and the disappearance. What he doesn't know is Ein Mugdam u'Me'uchar b'Torah. Let me take, I know that I haven't gotten to Yom Kippur yet. But I'm going to take you for a few minutes through the Haggadah, and then we're going to come to Yom Kippur. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah, the halacha of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah to relate the story of what happened in Egypt. Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah, it is a mitzvah Saseh in the Torah to relate all of the miracles that happened in Egypt on the night of the 15th of Nisan. And then, how are you supposed to do it? It's the Mishnah, and the Rambam says it clearly, V'hu sheyidrosh me'arami oved avi ad sheyigmor kol ha'parsha. You're supposed to darshan the parsha of Arami Oved Avi. The entire text, the structure of the Haggadah is the parsha of Arami Oved Avi. Parsha Kitovo, Mitzvah Bikurim, a Jew brings the first fruits. So he says, Arami Oved Avi, Lavan wanted to destroy my father, and he went down to Egypt, and they suffered, and they were oppressed, and they persecuted, and they cried out to God, and God heard their cries, and he saved them, and he took them out. And we darshan this entire, nearly this entire parsha. The halacha says, Dodesh kol haparsha. You have to darshan the whole parsha. The words in the Rambam are, Ad sheyigmar kol haparsha, until he finished the whole parsha. The whole hamosef umarach, anybody who says more about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Harezen v'shubach is praiseworthy. The fact is, the last two psukim of the parsha of Arami Oved Avi don't appear in the Haggadah. Those psukim are, one, Vayevi'enu el hamakom hazeh, and God brought us to this place, Vayiten lanu et ha'aretz hazot, he gave us this land, Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I have brought Reishis Pri Ha'adamah, the first fruit of the earth, Hashem Osato Li Hashem, that you God gave to me. The Rav deals with this question, the Rav Zatzal, the Chatzadik L'Vracha, deals with this question in a number of places. I would say, Baruch Hashem, Makom Hinichu Li Lihizgadeh, there is place, there is yet place for me to say something. The Rav asks, why don't we say the last two psukim? Vayivienu al hamakom hazeh. He brought us to this place. He brought us to Eretz Yisrael. He gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And then the last pasuk. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits. So the Rav says, of course, the last pasuk obviously can't apply on the night of the Seder because that's not the mitzvah. Bikurim you bring on Shavuos. You don't bring Bikurim on Pesach. So it's obvious the Mishnah could not have meant that pasuk. But what about the pasuk of Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh? He brought us to this place and he gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. Why doesn't that pasuk appear in the Haggadah? Why don't we darshan that pasuk? Rav says a number of things. One, he says that Eretz Yisrael was not the destiny of the Jewish people, but its destination. Some reason I'm afraid I find it difficult to believe that he said that. He also says that, and this I'm ready to accept, he says that the most probably during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they did say, Vayivienu al hamakom hazeh. They did say it. Jews went off into exile.
How could they say, Vayivienu al amakom hazeh, he brought us to this place? We're not in Eretz Yisrael. So how could we say, Vayivienu al amakom hazeh, he brought us to this place?
I think that it's still a problem. The Mishnah and the Rambam say, Doresh is supposed to darshan the whole parasha. And there is this pasuk that is not being darshaned. So I have a feeling that maybe we can say that in fact Vayivienu, that last pasuk Vayivienu, al amakom hazeh, he brought us to this place, a land flowing with milk and honey, does appear in the Haggadah, but it appears in the Haggadah in a different way. And I'll explain. It may very well be that the Baal Haggadah took a page out of the Rambam. There are a number of places where the Rambam will cite a halacha, he'll paskin a halacha, but he will not use the pasuk that was used by the Gemara. There are times when the Rambam feels that he has found a pasuk that is even clearer, and he's going to use that pasuk. One of the examples is the Gemara in Sanhedrin says Sholosh Mitzvos in Stavu Yisrael. There are three mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael were commanded when they came into Eretz Yisrael: to appoint the king, to destroy Amalek, and to build the Beis Hamikdash. How do we know that appointing a king comes before the destruction of Amalek? Because it says at the end of Parshas Bishalach, Ki yad al keis ka milchom al Hashem v'Amalek. Kisei, throne, malchus, comes before the destruction of Amalek. The Rambam brings a different pasuk. Minui melech, in Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam says, Minui melech kodem lemilchemes Amalek. The appointing of a king comes before the war of Amalek. Shenema, he quotes a pasuk where Shmuel says to Shaul, Oti shalach Hashem, God has sent me, lim shachachol melech, God has sent me to anoint you as a king. Atolech vihikita et Amalek, now go and destroy Amalek. Lechem Mishnah asks, but wait a minute, that's not the pasuk that the Gemara brought. So he says, kach darko shal haRambam, this is what the Rambam does. If he finds a pasuk that is even simpler or clearer, he will do that. And he does it in a number of places. I believe the Baal Haggadah has done precisely the same thing. Because the Baal Haggadah had a problem. If he would have quoted the pasuk of Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, here is the Jew who brings his first fruits, and he describes the sweep of Jewish history from Yaakov Avinu until Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then he says Vayivienu, and he brought us el hamakom hazeh, to this place, and he gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. Vayivienu, and he brought us, could very well leave me with the impression that, well, they were in the Midbar, there's no place else to go, so what's the next step? After A, you've got to B. After 1 comes 2. You're in the Midbar. Vayivienu, he brought us to this place. What the Baal Haggadah did was he found a pasuk that is infinitely more powerful, that expresses the same idea. There are two parts to the Haggadah. Part one is Sipur, relating the story of the Exodus. Part two is Shevach v'Hodoyah, praise. I want to read the last paragraph of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Bechol dor v'dor, in every generation, Chayev Adam Liras Esatzmo, a person is supposed to see himself Ki'ilu Hu Yotzom in Mitzchayim, as though he went out of Egypt. Shenema, as it says, V'higadeto Lavincha B'yomahu Leimor, you should tell your son on that day, Bavur Zeh, or Soha Shem Li, because of this, God did for me B'tzeitim in Mitzchayim, when I went out of Egypt. Lo et avoteinu ga'al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo et avoteinu b'vad, not our fathers alone did God redeem. Ela afa otanu ga'al imahem, he also redeemed us with them. Shene'emar. This is the last sentence of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shene'emar. And it's a pasuk that appears in the answer to the Ben HaChocham in Parshas Vaschanon. Shenema. V'osonu hotzini sham. He took us out of there. Leman havi otanu, in order to bring us. Latet lanu et haaretz asher nishba avotenu, to give us the land that he swore to the father, to our fathers. Do you hear what this pasuk is saying? This pasuk is not simply saying vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, he brought us to this place, which could have been understood or misunderstood as mugdam and mu'uchar. From the midbar they went to Eretz Yisrael, but not that Eretz Yisrael was the goal and the objective that brought everything into being. Comes the Bala Gada and he finds the one pasuk, and I'm ready to take the jump and say the one pasuk in all of Tanakh that connects Yitzias Mitzrayim with Bias Haaretz. Va'osanu hotzi misham, he took us out of there. Lema'an haviotanu, in order to bring us, to give us et haaretz asher nishba avoteinu. Do you know what this pasuk is telling us? En mugdam u'me'uchar in Jewish history. The ultimate arrival of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael is exactly and precisely what dictated the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim earlier. Jewish history doesn't move linearly. It moves on the basis of ultimate goal and objective. That's the substitute for the pasuk of Vayivienu El HaMakom Hazeh. The Mugdam, all that happened earlier, was dictated by the Miyochar. In fact, all that one has to do, I always say, all that one has to do in order to see the idea of Ein Mugdam U'Me'uchar in Jewish history is simply to look at the second bracha in benching. Noda Lecha Hashem Elokeinu Al Shin Chalto Labuseinu Eretz Chemda Tova Rechava. We thank the Rebbeinu Shem that he gave us Eretz Yisrael. Val Shehutzitonu Hashem Elokeinu Meretz Mitzchayim, took us out of Egypt. Ufiditanu Mi Beit Avadim, you redeemed us from the house of slavery. Val Bris Chashecha Santa V'Sareinu Bris Mila Val Toros Chashalom Adetanu Torah that you taught us. Val Chukecha Shodatanu. Do you know what that whole brach of Noda Lecha is? Just sit and figure it out, you'll see that it is the precise order of, well, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, there are 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What it's really saying is that Jewish history is precisely the opposite. Precisely the opposite of the history of the world. What it means is that Jewish history is not bound by time, not chained and fettered by the limitations of time. Zman is mosul lachem, time is given over to you. I'll give you one other example. I may be doing Rav Meir Simcha an injustice. You know, when you say over a Meshe Chachma, you have to be very careful to say it properly, otherwise you're over on Meshe Chachma's side. You can't kill a Meshe Chachma. But I'll just give you one brief idea. The Gemara in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah says the following. We're supposed to say four psukim of Malchias in the Musaf Shmoneser, four psukim of Malchias from Torah. So the Gemara asks, there are no four psukim in Torah that describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech. There are only three. What are the three psukim? Pasuk in Parshas Balak, Hashem Elokav Imo Utruat Melech Bo, the friendship of God is in him. Second, a pasuk in the Chukosai, Vayehi Bishunun Melech V'Yisase Froshayav Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Third, Hashem Yimloch Lalam Ved, Pasuk in Bishalach. Rav Haigoin, brought by the Ran, is troubled a little bit by the fact that the Gemara does not list the psukim in order. They list first the pasuk in Balak, then Zos HaBrocha, and then B'Shalach. Sort of high going says, the Gemara lo dak. The Gemara wasn't that interested, you know, in giving it in proper order. But in our Marzer, it's in proper order. In the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, we say the Psukim in proper order. B'Shalach, Balak, Zos HaBrocha. Reb Meir Simcha finds it difficult to believe that the Gemara just listed the three psukim haphazardly. So Reb Meir Simcha presents a very powerful idea. He says the order in which they appear in the Gemara follows the order of Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Ve'ed. By the way, there is no such pasuk. It was a pasuk created by Chazal. It's a great question for a Chidon HaTanach. Anybody who tries to tell you where it is, the pasuk doesn't exist. But Chazal, when they created this pasuk, Hashem Melech is present, Moloch is past, Hashem Yimloch L'olam Ve'ed is future. Says Reb Meir Simcha, that's precisely the order, the so-called haphazard order of the Gemara. The Gemara brought the pasuk in Parashas Balak, Utruat Melech Bo, which is present. Then it brought the pasuk in Zos HaBrocha, Vayihi B'Yishurun Melech, which is past. And the third, the Gemara brought Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Ve'ed, the pasuk in B'Shalach. Says Reb Meir Simcha, you know why the Gemara did this? The Gemara did this because in human experience, it's always the present that is more powerful because all of my senses are involved in the present. Second to the present is the past, because the past, at least one time I experienced and it left impressions upon my memory. The future is something that is completely anticipatory. Never, never ever did I experience it. So therefore, that's why Chazal created the Pasuk Hashem Melech. God is king, he was king, he will be king. From here, the Meshech Chochmah goes on in such a beautiful way to describe how experiences and time frames apply to different in different areas. For example, I'll give one example. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Pasuk, we said it, we're going to say it in Davidin. Ani Rishon Vani Acharon Umi Balodai Ein Elokim. I was first, I will be at the end, and without me there is no God. Says Reb Meir Simcha, as far as the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is concerned, the order is always past, future, present. Why? Since the Rebbeinu Shel Olam spans all of time, the least significant unit of time for him is the present. It's gone. What is the most significant unit of time? The expanse from past through future. Ani Rishon v'ani Acharon umi Balodai Ein Elokim. Reb Meir Simcha goes on to discuss how Malachim, in what time frames Malachim work. He goes through everything, and here also except one thing, Mokam Hinichu Lil Hizgader. He says, like everybody says, the order in which we say it in Malchius is the order in which it appears in Torah. B'Shalach, Balak, Brocha. And all of a sudden I took, let's see those three psukim. What are the time frames in which they appear in Torah? Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Ve'ed, which is the future. Utruat Melech Bo in Balak, said by Bilam, is in the present. And by Yehibi, Shurum Melech is the past. Do you see the order of Torah? Is the order of Torah going from past to present to future? Or does the order of Torah begin with the ultimate? Moshe Rabbeinu immediately sees Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Ve'ed. That's going to be the end of history. Ein Mugdom Umolcha B'Torah. Torah does not work in past, present, and future. Torah begins with Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Ve'ed. Who sees the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as Melech Yisrael only in the present?
Bilam! What do we expect of Bilam? He can only see through at Melech Bo. Can he see Hashem in Loch Lolam Ve'ed? Of course not. He doesn't want to see it. He doesn't want to see it. So there the order in which it appears in Torah is because Ein Mugdam Umorcha Batorah. Kiddush HaKodesh. Kiddush HaKodesh, as it is established in Halacha, through the testimony, how does Kiddush HaKodesh work? It works through the testimony of two witnesses. Kiddush HaKodesh not only tells us that Klal Yisrael is beyond time, Kiddush HaKodesh tells us something else, that Halacha stands higher than science. If two witnesses do not come to Beit Din to say they saw the new moon, and our calculations say that today is Rosh Chodesh, it won't be Rosh Chodesh. Two witnesses, which are Torah and Halacha, will therefore tell us that tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh, not today. Science is within the bounds of time. Torah is beyond time. Halacha stands higher than Mada. Do you know why Kiddush HaKodesh is the first mitzvah that's told to Klal Yisrael? Because Klal Yisrael have to know that they are not bound or shackled or fettered within the confines of time. Emuna in Nisim, the emuna of a miracle, that miracles can happen, is only because one is able to look beyond nature and beyond time. Tshuva. Why does tshuva help? Famous Talmud Yerushalmi that says, Sholu lachochma, they asked wisdom, Chote ma yehe onsho, what's the punishment for a sinner? Wisdom said, Chatoyim teradeif ra, evil should pursue the evildoer. Sholu lenevuah, they asked prophecy, Chote ma yehe onsho, what's the punishment for a sinner? Hanefesh hachotat hi tamut, the sinner must die. Punishment must follow sin. Shalu la Torah, they asked Torah, Chote ma yehe onsho, what should be the punishment for a sinner? Yavi korban v'yiskapelo, he should bring a sacrifice, korban. Finally, Shalu la Kodesh Baruch Hu, they asked the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Chote ma yehe onsho, what should happen with a sinner? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, Yase tshuva, let him do tshuva. Why is it that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say Yase Tshuva? Why is it only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say Tshuva? Because the fact is that Tshuva presents us with a very, very serious problem. How does it work? How can it be efficacious? What's done is done. A person sinned, you can't undo what was done. Person acted in a rebellious nature against God. Person committed a crime, can't be undone. What do you mean, do tshuva? How does tshuva work? Why should tshuva work? Why should it help? Wasn't wisdom right? Let evil destroy the evildoer. Wasn't nevuah right? You sinned, pay the price. Why does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam say, Yase tshuva? Only the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is able to say Yase Tshuva because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam lives beyond time. Past, present, and future are all one. In that realm outside of time, in the realm of Ein Mugdam Umeuchar, everything can be undone. That was the mistake of Haman. He saw everything following inexorably toward an ultimate end. What he didn't know is that in Yahadus,
because of Kiddush HaChodesh, because we live beyond time, because Ein Mokdam U'Me'uchar, everything is reversible. Everything can change. Because we're never moving in a linear direction. There's a goal, there's an objective. The tomorrow is going to determine the today. And what happens if, yes, as a result of chet, a person has done tshuva that has brought him so much closer to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? So do you know what the latter dictates? The latter dictates that the former no longer exists. Because what determines is the ultimate goal and the ultimate objective. Tshuva works because tshuva is not limited or bound by time. Shiva Dvarim, the Gemara in Nedarim and the Gemara in Pesachim says there are seven things that were created before the creation of the world. Shiva Dvarim Nivru Kodem Shinivra Ha'olam Eluhen Torah U'tshuva Gan Eden Gehenem Kisei Kavod Beis Hamikdash Shmosha Moshiach. Tshuva existed before the world came into being. Tshuva is beyond time. Within the realm of time, events following 1, 2, 3, the Aveiro is one, can't be undone. But if that's not the way things work, if time is not the determining factor, if the Jew, as he goes through the process of Aseres in a tshuva, Dirshu Hashem, Behimotzo, seek out God, Kro'uhu, call unto him, Behyoto Karov, when he is close, the closer I get to him, the more I am able to shake myself free of the limitations of time. And outside of time, tshuva helps. What struck me, a Gemara that I mentioned earlier, we've learned the Gemara so often. And I never noticed it. Never noticed it till yesterday. And that finished me for the day, you know, after I saw that, like that chiddush. I learned with the Gemara, Achar Advarim Ha'ele, after these things, Omar Rava. Rava said, what does it mean, Achar Advarim Ha'ele? Achar, after. The exact words were, Achar Hadvarim Ha'ele, after the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was Borei Refuah Lemaka, Achar Shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu Refuah Lemaka. What a strange word for Rava to use. Achar Shebora, God created. Do you know what Bora always means? Creating something from nothing. Creatio ex nihilo. If Rava would have said the way we usually say over the Mai, this Mai Mechazal is usually said over HaKadosh Baruch Hu Magdim Refuah Lemaka. Oh no, 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 no. That's not what Rava said. Acha Shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu Refuah Lemaka. Do you know what I believe Rava is saying? Ravi is not only talking about the fact that chapters 1 and 2 of the Megillah are determined by what's going to happen in 3, 4, and 5. Do you know what Ravi is talking about in the ultimate sense? The Rabbeinu Shel Olam, before the creation of the world, created the refuah for the Makkah. What's the refuah? What's the refuah? The Rav always used to talk about it. Tshuva is the refuah. Veshav the Rafalo. Borei Nivsosayim Shalom Shalom La Rohat V'Lakorov Omar Hashem Urif Fasif. I will heal him. Healing, tshuva, slicha, mechila u'kapara. That's the refuah. Do you know what Rava may be saying? Rava may be saying, Achar Hadvarim Ha'ele, Gzeirav Haman is about to begin, but wait a minute. Achar Shebora, after the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had created refuah, tshuva, for the Makkah that was going to come. What Haman doesn't know is Klal Yisrael can do tshuva. And with Klal Yisrael can do tshuva, they undo everything. V'nafuchu, everything is going to change completely. Everything will be different. Acha Sheboro,
HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he created the refuah for the Makkah. That's what Rav is talking about. Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha means the closer that we get to the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we begin to enter an area in which, a realm in which the shackles of time do not exist. Even before creation, there was already tshuva. We said it in a number of the slichas of Tzom Gedalia. Oz may Oz, then from the very beginning, Kodem, even before you created the world, you had brought tshuva into being. That's why it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who can say Yaseh Tshuva. Tshuva is based, it's built, it exists on one rule. Ein Mugdam Umu'ucha Batara. Tshuva helps because our history does not work in a linear fashion. Ein Mugdam Umu'ucha means that we are not determined by what happened in the past. What's determining is what's going to happen in the future. And if it's what's true, if tshuva is what's going to happen in the future, it will undo the past. For that reason, the two places in Torah where Torah talks about tshuva, what are the two parashas of tshuva in the Torah? The two parashas of tshuva in the Torah are the parashot of Geula. Because both tshuva and geula are both that which take Klal Yisrael out of the limitations and out of the bounds of time. Whatever things look like now, there is never reason to despair, because we know that the ultimate geula must come. Isn't that what the Rambam said? Ukvar ein Yisrael nigolin elo b'tshuva, Klal Yisrael are redeemed only through tshuva. Ukvar hivticha Torah has already promised and guaranteed shesof Yisrael lasos tshuva, the sof gulatan. The end is that Klal Yisrael is going to do tshuva at the end, and they're going to be redeemed, because tshuva and geula are inextricably intertwined. They are both part of the unusual history of Klal Yisrael, not a history of Mugdam Umu'ucha. Ein Mugdam Umu'ucha Batorah. There are serious stresses and strains on our society. There are deep divisions between secular and religious Jews, and they're a source of real concern. The headlong rush of the non-religious community even further away from its roots, the embracing the worst of Western culture, the inroads that are being made against our children, that culture from without that is invading us. That's on one hand. And on the other hand, there is the great growth of Torah, the great growth of commitment within our ranks. In the ultimate sense, we know Ein Mugdam Umu'uchar Batorah. In the ultimate sense, Kvar Hivticha Torah has guaranteed Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. Ein Mugdam Umu'uchar Batorah. But in the world of action, we have to look at life as Mugdam Umu'uchar, that what we do can make a difference. We have to see, as we live within time, that we have the responsibility to do the mugdams that will bring to the miyuchar. The real challenge that faces us is that we have to work within this framework of mugdam umuha. We have to use all of our resources to heal the rifts, narrow the gaps. We have to be able to extend a genuine hand of friendship to another segment of our community that has in the last year, as a result of terrible tragedy, grown so distant from us.
at the same time that we maintain the integrity and the independence of our position. But never to despair. Never to despair. Why did I speak so much about Purim? Why did I speak so much about Purim? The Rav says it brings the Chachmei HaKabbalah. What is Yom HaKippurim? Yom HaKippurim is a day, Kippurim, like Purim. What have we learned from our study of Purim? Everything is reversible. Everything can change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara refuah, the Rebbeinu Shlom created the refuah before the Makkah. Purim is the classic example of the greatness of tshuva, that the Jew can break through the fetters of time that bind him. In the Haftarah of Shabbos Shuva, we're going to say, Mi chacham v'yavin eile v'yeda'ein, ki yusharim darchei Hashem v'tzadikim yelchu bam u'poshim yikashu bam. The ways of right, God are righteous. The tzaddikim will walk in it. The sinners will stumble. A depressing message. But Shabbos HaGadol, which is in Nisan, has another message. There the message is, the Heshiv Lev Avos Al Banim, the Lev Banim Al Avosam. The return of generations together. Because Nisan represents Ein Mugdam U'Me'ochar. Nisan represents beyond time. Nisan represents the idea that everything can change. Haman's terrible mistake was he got stuck in Adar. He never really made it to Nisan. If he would have known what Nisan really was, he would have seen Jewish history in a completely different way. In sum, I was able to talk really about the first Rashi in Chumash without any politics whatsoever. We began with the question, Matam, why did Torah legislation begin with HaChodesh HaZalachem? Because while world history, Rashi was talking about world history begins with Bereshis Bara. Jewish history begins with HaChodesh HaZalachem. Bereshis Bara, yes, that's Torah that moves in chronological order from beginning to end. HaChodesh HaZalachem turns everything completely upside down. World history, yes, moves chronologically in a linear path. Jewish history advances from the ladder. There's the goal, the objective. Moshe told us, the Nevi'im told us, we know what the end is going to be. L'takein olam b'malchut Shaddai. Yehi ratzon that all of Klal Yisrael be granted slicha, mechila, v'kapara, that our fellow Jews be zeichut to see the beauty of Torah, and that this year will indeed usher in an era of real peace for the Klal, the Prat, the Yachid, the Tzibur, the individual, and the entire community. Gemar Chasina Tovah.